Hey guys, this is Wolf Hoffman from Accept, and you're watching CMS TV. Meta.
You know.
Or maybe you keep it and have a second home in Las Vegas, like another guy we know.
Yeah, I'm going to go move next to Stephen Piercy.
There you go. You could have your own place out there.
Right. I'm going to go find out where Stephen lives. I'm going to live next to him.
Right. Speaking of Stephen Piercy.
Yes.
I was told, let me find the email. I was asked if I would read a rebuttal to his own comments from Ruben last week, because apparently Stephen didn't like his comments.
Well, what was the comment?
When he was talking about Stephen pulling his hoodie over his head and not wanting to deal with people. Oh, yeah,
about just being incognito.
Yeah.
And he heard this?
I'll read the email and you can decide for yourself what was heard and what wasn't heard.
Well, who where'd the email come from?
From Ruben.
Oh, from Ruben.
Ruben hit me up. I'll just read it.
Mm-hmm.
Says, hey, Chris, would you mind sharing this bit of info to help clarify the Piercy thing mentioned last week?
Okay.
I reached out to Chip and spoke with Stephen Piercy, and some of the preamble leading up to the interview disclosed what was going on. I guess what was going on with Stephen.
Well, Chip who? Chip
Ruben? Yeah, because Chip's working that box set.
Okay. All right. And so, Ruben wanted to interview him?
To interview Stephen. And he reached out to Stephen and then he did the interview.
All right. I get you.
Like Eric, he wanted us to lay low at certain times, which falls in line with what you and Neely mentioned of Piercy. So my perception was off target. Don't know if we should mention this, but when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Have a great show. So Ruben is pulling back his statement that Stephen was ducking him.
Well, I don't think he said he was ducking him.
Well, he said that when he acknowledged, what he said was, I looked and I made eye contact with Stephen and Stephen pulled his hoodie over.
Yeah, but I don't think he's like, I'm hiding from you, Ruben.
Yeah, well, that's why we, and if you remember what we said, well, you know, Stephen's kind of never had to deal with everybody having access to him.
Yeah, true.
And he just kind of probably just wanted to mingle with this girl a little bit or whatever. That's kind of what we said,
sure.
You know, but I just thought it was funny that we got this email. I'm assuming it was discussed. Otherwise, why would he need to make a statement about it?
I guess. I mean, it must have been brought up somehow.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Well, Steven's been known to listen to us before.
Yeah, I know. He's told me. He says, hey, I really listen to you guys. He goes, you guys are always spot on everything you talk about.
So maybe Stephen heard it. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of this. I just was asked if we could clarify. So there, it has been clarified from Ruben.
Well, what was the clarification we just made?
That that Stephen wasn't being a dick.
No, he didn't say that. He just said that he looked like he was just trying to,
not acknowledge Ruben. That's how Ruben positioned it. Like, okay. Steven,
I didn't take it that way.
I'm assuming what he was trying to say is Steven and him made eye contact and Steven pulled his hoodie over like he didn't want to be bothered.
Okay.
And Ruben took some offense to that.
Oh, I didn't gather that at all in that discussion.
I think what Ruben is saying is now that he talked to Piercy said to him, no, that wasn't it at all. I was just trying to get over to the buffet to get some shrimp or whatever, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, when Ruben said that, I didn't say that I didn't take it as he was saying that Steven was trying to duck me or something. I just said I just took it that in general he was like maybe just trying to not be as recognizable.
Yeah.
That's all that's how I took it, but that was just me.
You know what? I'll take it as he did see you, Ruben, and you look like a scary stalker. So he pulled his hood down and ran the fuck away.
Well, that segment we did with Ruben, that also got a lot of great comments.
A lot of people like that.
Yeah. They really enjoyed that quite a bit.
Although I feel bad for the Monsters of Rock cruise, because I think we canceled about 50 or so fucking potential customers.
Well, whatever.
A lot of people were like, I would never go on this after hearing these stories. Well,
again, I said that about the Kiss cruise, you know, again, and unless I was asked to go, I would never do that on my own.
Yeah.
I would never pursue that venture and go, man, I want to do that. It's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm never going
I mean, been there, done that. It was cool that I was asked to go, and it's cool that I experienced that. But is that something I would go pursue? No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
No, me either.
It's just, I get it. It's cool. I'd rather, you know, I'd rather get a nice hotel room, you know, if you want to talk about having a getaway. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just get a really nice suite at a nice hotel at a different city or a strange city and just go exploring and, you know, just enjoy that if you're going to spend that kind of money.
Yeah. I mean, for that, especially what Ruben spent, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck, for that kind of money, you better have some hookers involved.
I mean, I know where the Sheraton is in Cuyahoga Falls. Mm-hmm. When I stay in town, a lot of times I stay at the Sheraton and I'll get a nice suite there and things, and they got a nice bar, and you know, it's a pretty good area, and you know, it allows me to, you know, to venture out to the places that I need to go, whether it's meeting up with you or friends or family or whomever. And it's a good central location. But in the evening when I'm, you know, hanging out at the bar, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'd just rather spend the money doing that from a nice hotel than travel to go to a boat and be on a boat for 5 days, you know.
I'll just keep doing it the way I do it. Just invite all my friends and have a $350 bar tab. Just there have some fun. It's good. There
you go. I agree.
Do that all year long versus spending $16,000 for a week. No thanks.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like when I make my trip to Pittsburgh, I stay at the Wyndham.
Yeah, it's a nice hotel.
And get a nice room at the Wyndham and just have a blast doing that.
Sure.
You know, that'll, you know, between the travel and the room and, you know, the, you know, activities, dinners and stuff, that might cost me close to $2,000 over 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
I'd rather spend it like that.
I'm with you there.
So that's it. To each their own. Hey, if you like that kind of stuff and you like cruises and you like to go, you know, rub elbows with favorite rock stars and stuff, go do it.
There are some guys that go on that cruise every single year, like our friend Dan Pate.
Yeah,
Dan goes. I think that's like Dan's annual trip.
Well, hey, if that's what, you know, I like to go to NAMM every year.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't go this year. It was just last month. But I may go next. You know, in January.
Sure.
You know, and even though I didn't go in April, I got my passes anyway.
Right.
Just to keep my name active.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, because you can only get in by way of by way of pass, and it's not open to the public.
Right.
And fortunately, I've gone enough to where now I'm in the database. And when I apply for my passes, I can just get them without any hassle.
Right. And thank God, because the hookup is no longer with us.
So, yeah. Well, fortunately, the last time I went, I was able to go on the credentials of the CMS.
Oh, that's good. Nice.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So the CMS is in the database. And so now that I apply for the passes, all I got to do is just pay the fee and bang, I got them.
I got to start asking for more shit. I don't ask for anything. I constantly am like, hey, you know what? I'll just buy the tickets. You know, it's the weirdest fucking thing. I don't know if you're like this too. You probably are, but I know, like Tesla is an example.
Right.
I know every time I could make a phone call and get Tesla tickets every time. But then when it comes down to actually doing it, then I look and I'm like, well, I want these specific tickets. You know, I'm like, it's $150 for two tickets or $200 for two tickets or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but I want those two. I don't want to sit wherever the fuck they sit me. You know, I'm so picky about that shit.
Well, whatever. You know, like at the end of this month, Halloween is going to be in town.
Nice.
And Taylor wants to go, and Frank, you know, Doc and Sound Guy, he's working the Halloween show.
Okay.
So I'm gonna hit him up for passes for that.
That'll be a good show.
Yeah.
Dude, they play like 2.5 hours. Yeah. That's a great show.
It's a Friday night. I think it's May 25th or something like that. And
right.
You know, I'm gonna go.
That's cool.
So,
yeah, I think I'm seeing Steven next week.
Was he in Willoughby or something?
Yeah, Willoughby. Yeah. On Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted. I don't know. It's kind of far, but.
Oh, come on. Come on. We're right up to 71. Are you kidding me?
It's like 30 minutes. It's
oh, my goodness.
Long drive.
Oh, my goodness. You wouldn't just drive 30 minutes to see your friend, Eric.
I might bring him down here for next Saturday night. He's going to be in town Saturday.
Is he?
Yeah.
They do their show on Sunday. Oh, yeah, they're Sunday, so they fly in on Saturday.
Yeah, he's going to be in Saturday, so I might bring him down here and do CMS Live with him next week. I don't know yet.
Why not?
We're still working it all out.
Sure.
But yeah.
They're playing the Four Winds Casino over here, and I think in September.
Okay.
So I'll see him in September.
That'll be fun. Yeah, that's I just was like, Eric hit me up and was like, hey, is Willoughby close to you? And my immediate reaction was no. Yeah, Very far.
I saw the tour dates, and they're playing several places in Ohio.
Yeah, they play like Niles and places like that, don't they? Yeah. Isn't it?
Well, they're playing, you know, outside of Dayton, and they're playing in Willoughby, and then they're playing in Harrod, Ohio, and you know, and then they're playing a couple places over in Michigan, and then they're going to play in like I said, the Four Winds and New Buffalo, which is like 30 minutes from my house.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going next Sunday.
Let's go.
I mean, it is a drive for me. It's what, 40 minutes.
Well, I mean, you saw that video I sent you from January.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm looking forward to going. I'm looking forward to seeing Eric, and I'm looking forward to seeing Steven.
Sure.
You know, seeing those two will be fun.
Yeah, there's no reason you shouldn't go on a Sunday night. It's not it's not like you got to get up to go to school the next morning.
Yeah, but the USFL is on.
Oh, please.
I got to watch. I got to know what the Philadelphia Stars are up to.
Please. No, go out there and hang with Steven and the boys.
I am. I'll go hang with Eric, Steven. I'm going. I mean, I'm planning on going. I asked Kelly yesterday. She's like, that's too far. And boy, I was like, now I know why we kick it. What?
It's too far.
All I could think of is, yeah, now I know why me and her kick it all the time. She's the same as me. Driving anywhere is a fucking hassle.
I can't go. It's too far.
Wouldn't you guys rather come over here and barbecue?
Jeez. You're getting to be like old people.
I am. Dude, I'm working with half a fucking arm.
I understand part. I get that part.
It's a fucking hassle.
Yeah, that's funny.
But I'm definitely at some point. I think it's safe to say at some point I'm going to see Eric next weekend. I'm going to actually face to face see him. I don't know if it's going to be here or at the show or both or some method will make it work.
Right.
So
that's funny. Yeah, I saw all the tour dates, and I was going to ask you about if you were going to go to the Willoughby show.
Yeah, I can't even imagine where that is. I mean, I know where Willoughby is, but I mean, I used to work in Eastlake,
mm-hmm.
So you know, it's right there, and I don't ever remember seeing anywhere that there would be like a concert venue.
Yeah, you never know. Somebody might have opened up a club or something. Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not just like the woods somewhere with a fucking stage. Well, they have that here in my town in Twinsburg. They have like a stage. They do this Twinsburg Rocks concert series, and it's always like cover bands and stuff like that. And every once in a while you get like a real band, but they do it every Friday, but it's literally just out in the woods. They built a gazebo that's elevated 6 inches. So they call it a stage.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know,
well, the one of these organizations every year they do these I guess they call it a beer garden or whatever, and they basically are in a strip mall parking lot,
right?
And they fence off a section of the parking lot, and then they bring in two flatbed trailers, and they park them side by side and make a stage out of two flatbed trailers.
Sure.
And they put on a show there. I saw Warrant there when Janie was still alive, and LA Guns, and who else did I see there? Iron Horse was there.
Okay.
You know, I went to numerous of those shows, and it's just like out in a parking lot, you know?
Right.
with his makeshift stage out of flatbed trailers.
Sure.
You know.
Well, dude, I remember one show when I was, I don't know, sort of informally managing that band Girth.
Yeah.
And back then they had that, they were always doing movie soundtracks, and like you could get your music in a movie soundtrack if you just raised money to help fund the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember that bullshit?
Yeah, sure.
Well, Girth wanted to be in this soundtrack, so we did this camp out thing. And they set up an old stagecoach type thing.
Okay.
It was on the wheels, even a wheeled stagecoach, but with no top on it.
Yeah.
And they put the band up on this fucking thing. Well, I think this thing might have been an actual stagecoach from the 1800s because it was just a rotted slab of shit. And I remember their drummer, Toby, he was playing during soundcheck. And he leaned back and the fucking wood broke and he fell right off the just fell right off.
Yeah.
And all they did was they put another slab of wood to replace it and put him back up there.
Right. Get back up there.
Yeah. Get back to playing. Don't be a pussy.
it's just kind of funny, but you know, we've covered our share of, you know, new promoters who, you know, always want to put on some kind of a concert series or a show or something like that. And they don't always have the best of accommodations.
No,
you know, but yet somehow they pony up the money to bring in, you know, some name brand acts.
It's gotta be disheartening if you've been like a Piercy who's played, you know, huge fucking venues.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's played the Sao Paulo as an example, which is 40,000 people or whatever it is.
Right.
And to go from that to pull up and here's a barn with two fucking stacks of hay and wood stretched across it. You know, that has got to just be disheartening and be like, man, what happened to my career?
Yeah.
I used to have $1 million stage. Now I'm playing on two slabs of wood.
Yeah. Down in Maslin, Ohio, there was a place down there. I know your buddy Mitch Kershevsky had his place up there in Lorain called the Flying Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this place down in Maslin was also called the Flying Machine.
Okay.
And it was just a kind of a dank little bar, you know, just kind of a disheveled building.
Okay.
I saw Great White there, and I've seen several bands there years ago. Well, Dio was supposed to play there.
Okay.
And Dio actually came to the venue and looked it over and stuff. And I guess he just went, nah, I'm not playing here.
I believe that.
You know, and I think he rescheduled the same show, but he did it like at the Odeon or something.
Right. Just like moved it down the street. Right.
Exactly. It was just like, I'm not playing here.
Dude, I mean, you got to think. That's another one. I mean, how big of venues did he play with Black Sabbath or with Dio?
Yeah, with Dio at the prime.
And then he rolls in and it's a fucking shit shack somewhere. You know.
Yep.
That's just got to suck. That's like when I saw Bruce Dickinson at the World Series of Metal the one year.
Oh yeah,
and he was in the Odeon, in the small stage of the Odeon.
Was it the Agora
the Agora Ballroom?
Right,
and they had him on the small stage, and literally Mitch, this is so dumb, and this is how cheap this shit was. Mitch had me and two other friends open up tables, like folding tables, push them up against the stage and hold them against the stage. So the Dickinson, and they move the monitors onto the tables so the Dickinson would have more room to run around.
Had to step up and stuff. Yeah.
That was during the Skunk Works album. Wow. But literally we stood there watching Dickinson, but kind of with our legs up against the table so that the tables wouldn't shake out into the crowd. It was so dumb.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was the 99 World Series. I think it was 99. Yeah. 99 or 2000 World Series of Metal that, Dokken was headlining.
Yeah.
Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And they were on the Erase the Slate tour.
Right.
And, they had some delays getting back 'cause they just played Walkin'.
Right.
and they were coming back, and it was a Sunday night, and they were getting in late, and they got in late. I think they got to the venue at like, it was like 11:30 at night.
Right.
And, you know, it was late Sunday night. And Mitch was like, yeah, you know, you guys don't have to play. I'll just go out and make an announcement and say that a water pipe or something in the backstage.
Right.
Some shit like that. And Donna's like, fuck that. He says, you know, we made it here. We're here. We're playing.
Yeah.
And I think they played till like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, they did, because if you remember, you guys were calling us. I was on the air on the metal show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were giving away, hey, if you want to come down, just come down, because
I remember that.
Because it was so late, and it was like, well, there's not going to be anybody there. And we came down and watched the show after Matt and I came and watched Doc, and we saw their whole set.
Yeah.
And we ended at midnight.
Yeah.
So we saw their whole set, you know. So they played till probably like 1:30.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. It was kind of a nutty, weird, and there was no one there. Was there 100 people there? I don't think so.
Might have been. I don't know. But then after the show was over, then I went back and was hanging out with Don, and, you know, actually Rock and Randy was with me too.
Of course he was.
And we were backstage and talking to Don and stuff, and they were on a bus because they were starting their US, you know,
right. Mm-hmm.
And they had the whole tour bus thing and everything. And I just remember, we were out back while everybody was getting on the bus, 'cause they were getting ready to leave. It was like 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
And, we were talking to Don, and he's like hanging out the bus door as the bus is pulling away, just motherfucking George, about the Erase the, or not Erase the Slate, but Shadow Life.
Right.
So funny, because Randy asked him about Shadow Life or something, and he goes, that fucking album, you know, that was just the worst thing. Pick up this Erase the Slate. This thing is just like, you know, 100 times better. That album was so bad, as he's going down the driveway.
Right?
That album was so bad, I didn't even let him put the Dokken logo on it. I'll see you guys later. That's the best.
Dude, you know what makes that story even funnier is that was Don was my first ever hang up.
Yeah,
he hung up on me because I asked him about Shadow Life.
Yeah.
During the Shadow Life promo, he was interviewing with me, and he just wasn't in the mood to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously we've had Don on here 100 times and he will talk, you know, but it was one of those interviews that, so you're out on the road now, right? Yeah. Okay, then, you know, it was a real teeth puller interview, and I was stretching for anything to get him talking. So I threw him a fucking bullshit question. I said, where does Shadow Life rank in the catalog? Is it the best? Is it the worst? Is, you know, where would you put it? And without hesitation, Don goes, that's the best thing we've ever done. And I was like, really? And he goes, you don't think so? And I was like, are you asking me my opinion? And he's like, yeah, what do you think? And I just fucking lit it up. I was like, Lynch sounds terrible. I don't like the effects all over your voice. It sounds thin, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, fuck you, man. Click. Click. I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch.
He was not happy with that answer, but yeah. It's just funny that now he acknowledges it's just the worst piece of shit that he ever put his voice on.
When you're out there trying to promote a disc.
Oh, yeah.
This is the shittiest thing we ever done.
I get it, but he could have diffused it by saying, yeah, it's probably in the middle.
Yeah.
He could have said, it's not as good as the first three, but it's not as bad as the last two or whatever.
Right, exactly.
You know, whatever. He could have said something and not, you know, or done the standard, you know, each record is its own thing, and we don't compare one to the, you know, that line.
Yeah, that too.
He could have gone with that line, and that would have been like the safe answer. But instead, he was like trying to pretend it was the best ever. So
everybody knows that was a pile of dog shit.
Yeah,
you know, because I remember getting that, and I was excited about a new record. And I put that. I'm just like, what? It starts off with Puppet on a String, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
That's what basically it. I was just like, oh.
I remember when I got it, because that was a CMC record, and they used to send me the stuff way early.
Yeah.
And I remember I was the same way. I was like, oh, good, new Dokken. This will be great. And I liked, that was right after Dysfunctional, right?
That's correct.
So I had really liked Dysfunctional, and I was like, this is going to be good. You know, this is going to be in my player for the next month or two. This is going to fucking rock. And I put it on. I remember going back, pulling it out of the player like three songs in and making sure it was the right disc. I thought it was like a demos disc or something. Like you know how sometimes they give you like the real album and then like a collection of the demos or something. I thought that's what I was listening to because it was so fucking god awful. It really is a bag of shit.
Oof. It's garbage.
Yeah. I'm surprised he lets it be licensed.
Yeah, again, I don't know who owns what on that thing, but regardless, it was garbage.
It was trash, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, well, I say we take our first break.
All right.
And I'll let you pick a song and get things cranking up here and rocking and rolling.
All right, well, let's. I'm going to go with a band we like doing a song that we like even more. How's that? How's about if we go Tesla with Rock Bottom from Reel to Reel? Part one.
Really?
Yeah, I was listening to that today. That's actually pretty good. I generally like covers albums, but I sort of like that song.
All right, fair enough. I know I know when that Reel to Reel came out, it's just like, why are they doing so many covers? It's two albums worth of covers.
Two albums worth, and they did like an EP also of cover. Yeah. They put out a shit ton of covers, that's for sure. But
it's like, what's the reason for this?
Yeah, but I will say, though, that I definitely, I was listening to it today, this afternoon. I was just looking for anything to listen to.
Sure.
And I threw it on. I was like, man, that's pretty solid.
All right. Good enough. It's good enough for me. I don't know if this is Jackal approved, though, because, you know, they are touching Shanker stuff.
Eh, whatever. I'm not that worried about if it's Jackal approved or not. It's Chris approved.
Because I sure wouldn't want to get any backlash.
Look, I don't even want to hear his opinion. His fucking favorite guy got replaced by fucking Christopher Cross once. I saw that today. You ever hear that story?
No.
Fucking, they got, Deep Purple went out and got a flu shot or some shit in 1970, whatever. And Ritchie Blackmore was too damn sick to play. So they brought in Christopher Cross to play for him.
Okay.
And if you could be replaced by Christopher Cross, and I'm talking about the sailing guy.
Yeah.
Ride Like the Wind guy.
Yeah.
If you could be replaced by Christopher Cross, that says a whole lot about your fucking amazing skill.
How about that?
Yeah. And go ahead and look it up there before you say I'm making it up, Jackal, because it's out there.
All right. Well, we're going to play a few tunes. We'll come back. If you want to get a request in, just send me an email through the request email, request@theclassicmetalshow.com. request@theclassicmetalshow.com. It's best to get it in that way because I can take a look at that. I can't watch the chat room and all this other garbage. So
that's right.
All right. So here it is. It's Tesla doing a UFO cover with the Rock Bottom exclusively here
on your Classic Metal Show.